Heavenly Father, we thank you that you didn't leave us alone on earth. You have empowered us to carry on with the ministry that you gave us. As we listen from your word early this morning, help us through your spirit that we may grasp the essence of our ministry. Help me as I go through your word. I ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen. Our theme for today is Christians are called to be outstanding in maturing the church of their Master, our Lord Jesus Christ, according to chapter 4, verses 7 to 16. In previous weeks, we saw in this chapter from verses 1 to 6 that we are called to be outstanding in our Christian life, in keeping the unity of the church. And in all of our efforts, we as believers are encouraged to keep the unity of the church as it is based on the nature of our salvation and as well on the nature of our God, so that we may fully devote ourselves to pursuing that Christian responsibility. Now, in verses 7 to 16, each and every one of us who believe in Christ is called to be outstanding in pursuing spiritual maturity. This is a responsibility of each and every one of us who genuinely believes in our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a responsibility that calls us to exercise the grace of service that has been given to each of us in order to grow Christ's church. Friends, this is not optionally, it is mandatory. All believers at their initial setting apart are energized with the essentials of achieving this mandate. Just imagine if an automobile manufacturing company like Toyota produces a top-of-the-range, newly designed sedan and send it in the market without the following essentials. No petrol tank, or gasoline tank, or diesel tank. No oil tank. No radiator. No accelerator cable. No brake fluid tank. Do you think this new design will make it in the market without these essentials? Certainly, friends, their sedan will not make in the marketplace. As well, the company will not make it in the marketplace. Just think for a moment with me. If Christ has left the church, just like as I've mentioned this illustration to you, without the essentials of ministry, the church has survived, friends, 2,000 years. It is formidable. The church will never be annihilated. It will never be destroyed. It will survive until our Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Why will it survive? In these verses, chapter 4, verses 7 to 11, Paul moves from Christian responsibility of keeping the unity of the church as it is molded by the unity found in God the Father. Now he tells us that God gave each and every one of us authenticated spiritual gifts so that we may further his purpose on earth. These gifts are natural abilities and talents that has been given to each and every one of us. Verse 7 tells us that we are not only favored, friends, at our conversion with the Holy Spirit, which seals us for eternity, but we are also endowed with different spiritual gifts by Christ. So believers at conversion, they receive a double portion. One, we receive saving grace, the grace that makes us to understand that there is only one God who's living, There is only one true God. So there is one portion that we receive from Christ as believers. Secondly, we receive grace of ministries. There is grace that calls us to ministry. Grace that gives each and every believer, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to exercise his God-given gift or his God-given grace. So if Christ hasn't gave us this, surely, friends, the church could not have survived till this far. Why I'm saying these gifts are authenticated, it is because in verses 8 to 10, we see that the one who gave this gift is the exalted Lord. He came on earth and he died. After he has died, he rose again. But now, friends, as we speak, as I'm saying now today, he's not with us. He's only with us through the Spirit. He's with God the Father. He's the exalted King. He has conquered the three enemies. He has conquered Satan, sin, and death. And as well as conquered even our own flesh, friends. That is why at our conversion, he gives us those gifts so that also the church has to conquer the devil. The church has to conquer sin. The church has to conquer as well death. The one who gives these gifts is the exalted King, the one who raised victorious from the grave, the one who's now above all principalities, the one who's above all powers. Jesus Christ is reigning on earth and in heaven. He's also reigning in our hearts. That is why we need to exercise those gifts, because when we hear the word of God, it triggers us to move on and say, what can I do for my Lord? That is why in verses 11, in exercising these gifts, the church has survived this far. In verses 11, Christ gave these different word-related ministries that would carry the church throughout all generations until Christ comes back again. In this verse, we see five ministries of the word that are exercised in building the church. Christ gave the church apostles. Friends, today, you will find other people saying that, I'm apostle so and so, I'm apostle that and that. But let me tell you, friends, we need to be very careful when we come and recognize the gifts that are given to us. The apostles are the ones that were founded on. The apostles are the ones who have compiled the Bible. We've got the Bible because God gave us the apostles. The apostles are the ones who saw Jesus face to face, are the ones who came across him. Like Paul, when he says about himself, he says, I'm the least of the apostles. Why? He was called by God or by Christ to be an apostle, though he never saw him. So who are the apostles now? They are those people who go out like Moody, who went to India and he started the church there. So which now apostles are those who go out as missionaries? We are not apostles, friends, because the church has not founded on us. Only 12 apostles and 500 apostles, which Paul speaks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, those whom we can say they are the apostles that the Bible talks about. So for us, we are mere missionaries. It is a wrong belief when people they say, I'm apostle so and so. And if you look at it, when they speak of that, they are not looking at it as a service. They look at it as a title. These five ministers, friends, are not a title. They are services. As we know that our Lord Jesus Christ says, I didn't come here to be served, but I came here to serve. So he also gave the church the prophets. The prophets are the one who rebuke the believers. Can we be like today the Old Testament prophets who were saying the things and the things happen? Friends, also will be having a wrong perception if we think that we will be in our mandate like Isaiah, like Ezekiel, like all the prophets of the Old Testament. We will be as well be wrong in our belief and understanding if we think that we'll be like the last prophet of the New Testament, John the Baptist. As Jesus Christ, he's saying there's no one who's born of man who's like Apostle John the Baptist. So why I'm stressing this? But we've got the prophets. When you read the Bible, when it rebukes you, you are a prophet yourself. So when you listen from the word of God and it cuts the sin that is in your life, so God gave us his word so that we can use his word to prophesy in our lives. He gave the church the evangelist. Who is an evangelist? It's a one who's burning inside himself and say, I will never rest until I see the word of God reaching all men. Those are the evangelists who are saying, if I've received the good news, then I don't want this to end with me. I make it to be a relay. We all know when we were back at school, we used to run an item at school which they call it a relay, whereby someone gives the other one a baton until the last one runs to the final mark. The evangelists are given to the church, are the ones who say, I will never rest until the gospel has reached all nations, until the gospel has reached all humanity. Those are the evangelists. God gave the church, the pastors, the shepherds. Friends, every one of us, he's a shepherd. Every one of us, he's a pastor to himself. It is our responsibility to lead our souls to eternity as we study his word daily. It is not the responsibility of a man who has been given a mandate to be in charge of the church to usher your soul to heaven. It is your own responsibility to attend Bible studies, to study the word and look to your life so that we are not doing what is good. The Bible will tell you and you will have an opportunity to ask God to cleanse you. Friends, we are all being called to be pastors of our souls. All when we come before Christ, he's going to ask each and every one of us, how did you live your life? How have you ushered your soul to me? Lastly, God has given his church the teachers of the word. Friends, we should not undermine the act of attending the Bible studies. Some of our believers, they only read their Bibles on Sunday. Some they don't at all. It's worse that they do not even attend the Bible study. Then they expect some people to teach them. Gone, friends, are the times of the Roman Catholic, where the Pope was everything to people, whereby the priest was everything to people. Friends, we are called today to be the teachers. We are called to teach ourselves about the word of God. This, friends, is not an optional exercise. God has given us grace to understand his word. God has given us power to go through his word. And God gave us those who are in authorities in our churches whereby we need only to go to them and confirm some things which we have started on our own. We need not to be kids. We need not to be the infants. You know, friends, for the church to survive this far, it's because God knew what the church needs. Jesus Christ was here on earth. He saw how much are we toiling. He knows exactly what we need. That is why he gave us this fivefold ministry, so that his church cannot be defeated. The question that one has to ask is why Christ gave this gift to the church. These gifts are given for a dual purpose, for individual benefits and for building up of Christ's church, according to verses 12 to 16. The people of God are geared for service. Each believer, as he applies the word of God in his life, he will as well be serving others. In doing so, the church of Christ is built. The example of this is that a pastor who is in the church is not only there to grow the church alone, but is there to allow believers to exercise their gifts and abilities so that they can together grow the church of Christ. Let us think, friends, of an idea of a royal priesthood of all believers. All believers are empowered with the ministry of the word, so that as the word is ministered to them, their lives minister as well to others, and the church is built and the church is growing as others see how you live your life. How you live your life. In verses 13, there are two ultimate purposes of spiritual gift to the church. The first is that the church should reach the unity in faith and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Which means, friends, as we study the word, as we listen from all those who have been given the mandate to teach us, we will be united in our knowledge of what faith is. And as well, we'll be growing in terms of knowing who Christ is. A believer who does not know who Christ is in his life, he's in danger. How could you devote yourself to the one whom you don't know exactly? That is why you find people, some, they are saying there are many Jesuses. There is only one Christ, friends. There is only one Savior. The one who came and became a man. The one who died and conquered death. And that it also tells us there is only one God. In our salvation, friends, if we do not acknowledge God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, then all our understanding is flawed. We are not worshiping a true God. So for us to worship a true God, every one of us has to know what faith means. Faith means when you take your decisions in life, you go to the Bible and you ask yourself a question. How should I make a choice now? Even when we are in times of fear, because that is where the devil comes and tests us. When we've got things that we fear, we need to consult the Bible and only do what the Bible says and not do the opposite of that. We will only devote ourselves to the one that we know, Christ who died and was raised again from the dead. And now, where is Christ? You would ask other believers, where is Christ? How does he relate with us now? Christ is with us.
through His word and through His spirit. That is why, friends, it is wrong when people these days, you find some of them, they come to you and say, I've got a vision. And then he tells his vision to you. And he wants you as well, when he tells you his vision, he wants to affirm the God whom you don't know. Friends, whenever we've got the things like these, let's draw this thing to the Bible. All the visions and prophecies have been fulfilled in Christ. He's the high priest. He's the last prophet. The one who speaks that word of God clearly, truthfully. The one who kept the word of God. Hence John is saying in chapter 17, Jesus Christ is one with God. And he's instructing his disciples that we need to remain in him. We need to keep his word. If we keep his word, whatever we ask, God will do for us. Friends, secondly, in verses 13, the church might become spiritually matured and attain to the whole measure in living like Christ. This means that when people see us, they should see Christ in us. By spiritual maturity, we mean someone who has experienced spiritual growth as he applies the word of God in decision making. His faith in Christ fashions his thinking, influences decision, that in everything that he does, he asks himself, does the Bible allow me to do this? The purpose of a Christian life, friends, it is to conform, or it is to fashion us to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet we also need here, friends, to be mindful that we cannot fully be like Him. Why we cannot be fully like Him? It's because the sin is still reigning now in us. Why am I saying this? Friends, there are views in this world that others, they think that if all believers can keep the word of God perfectly, it will mean that the kingdom of God in its perfection or consummation can come now. That is not our mandate, friends. There it is, the ignorance of the Bible. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ will come back again. So that is why we did not cheat ourselves and think that by keeping the word of God or by studying the word of God or the mind that has been given to us, it's to consummate things. He's the only one, friends, who has got the authority to consummate his kingdom, not us. But what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to preach the gospel. Our responsibility is to study the word. Our responsibility is to try and live like him, as the word tells us. There is a promise in that, friends. He's saying, if my words remains in you, then you will ask whatever that you need. It will be given to you. So what I'm trying to say, friends, is that let's move away from the post-millennialist, those who think that after persecution, then believers have got the authority to bring up the kingdom of God. The only person who could do that, it's our master, the one who died for our sins. He will come back again and consummate the things. Verses 14 and 15. Steadfastness and character. Friends, when we grow in his word, we will not be like children drifting from truth, following the deceitful ideas of men. We will be consistent in our faith. We will as well not be superficial. We'll have the real depth of knowledge and of truth. We'll no longer be lacking in discernment. So we'll exactly know when someone who's teaching heresy comes to us.
Friends, in verses 15, we are called to progress spiritually. I hope most of us, if we can measure our lives, we are not as we were when we became Christians. There is a change. All the children of God are called to grow spiritually. How do we grow and how do we progress spiritually? We only progress if we believe that Christ has given us gift to exercise, so that by exercising those gifts, we grow daily, day by day. Christians, friends, are standing on a solid ground. Christ has given all the necessary tools to stand the test of time. Secondly, friends, we lack nothing. There's no one who could say, I don't have that. I don't know where to begin in exercising my gift in the church. God has given all that we need in order to further His purpose. He is with us through His Spirit. If we are to grow in Him, we need to exercise our God-given gifts now for the benefit of us and for the benefit of the church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Gracious Father, we thank you that you have not left us alone. You gave your church all the tools that it need to grow from strength to strength. Bless every child of God that is here now and make it to be clear to him that excuses will only make them shallow in your word, will make them feeble in your work. I pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen.